You know, sometimes I get a little, I've noticed this lately in myself. Sometimes I begin to take myself a little too serious, and I start taking church a little too serious. You know, you can do that. I mean, it's serious business on one hand, but on the other hand, you know, we can, in our desire to see God come, we begin to start trusting in our ability to hunger enough, seek enough, believe enough. And while all that's important, there's just a reality to the fact that it's at the end of the day, it's God. In the beginning, God, he didn't have no help. So anyway, bless the Lord. All right. We got some business we need to take care of. Guys, is there anybody just really needs to get hit with some joy this morning? If you want some joy, stand up. If you need some joy in your life, just stand up right now. Lord, blast her right now with the joy of the Lord. Fill her up, Father, right now with your joy. Let her know, Lord, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Yes, there it is. Get her, God. Get her, Lord. Lord, let your joy just wash it all away right now. Sometimes we just need a real big Holy Ghost laugh, right? We do. All right. We want to continue. We've started something. I think I want to share a dream. I think I want to share two dreams. I shared this last week at our church at the table, but not everybody was here. I just want to share it to you again. A couple weeks ago, I had a dream, and if I shared this, tell me. I don't want to repeat this, but a couple weeks ago, I had a dream that we were, as a church, we're meeting in this little building. I mean, it wasn't this building, but it was a little building. And but Morningstar we owned a different building, and there was another building that was a lot bigger. I got excited about it when I found out, because in the dream, I didn't know about it. And so when I saw this building, I was like, Paul, man, we got to get this thing set up, ready to go. All we had to do was go make sure that the sound equipment was ready. And so there was an excitement that hit me. And so when I was checking out the building, the building was shaped kind of like this. It was a rectangle, but in the middle of the ceiling, like it was high ceilings like this, but it was a lot bigger. But right in the middle, it was wide open, like the opening in the ceiling. It was just, you could see right up to the sky. So it went, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 feet. Section of the church, and right in the center of the church, you could see it was wide open to the heavens, to the sky. Okay, hope y'all can hear that. In that section where it was open to the heavens, if you will, there was a door here and a door there, and the doors had steps that led up. And at the top of the steps, on each side, were a tree. There was a tree on this side and a tree on that side, but there were roots that I were concerned about because they were above ground. They weren't down in the dirt like they're supposed to be, and I was concerned it was going to be a tripping hazard, okay? That was the only negative in the dream. I was pumped. And so when I woke up from this dream, I began to seek the Lord about it, and this is what I thought the Lord told me. The center of this church has to be in the prophetic. It has to be that open to the heavenlies, where we can see into the heavenlies. It was in the center of the church, okay? That is what God's called this place to be. And so, but on each side, there was the two trees. Well, you see that in Ezekiel, the two trees by the river, and you see it in the book of Revelation, the two trees on each side of the river. The cool thing is that those trees, it said that the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So to me, it represented the healing that God wanted to release through this place. What we had to do was to sink our roots deeper. Our roots of that tree have to go deeper so that it doesn't cause stumbling. So to me, the Lord was saying we had to take our roots down deeper in the areas of healing in order to get where we're needing to go. That was the dream I had maybe a month or so ago. And but this past, was it this? No. 2 weeks ago, I had someone call me that they live in Charlotte, and they said they had a dream about this place. They said when they walked in, they said it was the biggest church building they'd been in. I mean, it was just huge. And which goes back to what you said, which I wasn't necessarily on board with that, honestly, but I think I am now. They came into the building, and they said the air of the place here was so electric with anticipation and hunger for what God was about to do. The meeting hadn't even started, and it was just a hunger and an expectation that God was on the move, and he was about to do something. And everyone was talking, and she was looking around, just looking at the excitement of the people for the things that God was about to do. About that time, she was talking to a first-time visitor, and he was excited to be here, and he was talking about that. But about this time, she said the leadership brought in motorcycles and wheeled them into the center of the church so that if anybody wanted to ride one, they could. And that was the end of the dream. Motorcycles speak of the prophetic in ministry. Or at least that's what I've seen over the years, the way the Lord's spoken to me. I've heard of a lot of other people getting that same thing, that motorcycles speak of the prophetic. It has to do with the ability to, vehicles speak of ministry in general, but motorcycles are open to the elements. You can feel what's going on. Every little thing on a motorcycle, you can feel it. You're open to the atmosphere. Okay, so that's why they tend to speak of the prophetic. And they were in the center of the church, just like the dream I had where the opening was in the center. The Lord has called this place to be a prophetic center, and we need to keep the prophetic right in the center of what everything we're doing, because God wants us to hear his voice and to release that into the earth, release that into one another. So I feel like there's a twofold thing that God's is speaking about, that his plans for this place, one, is keeping the prophetic right where it's supposed to be. Two, is that we really are called to be a healing hub, a hub where people come in and they need healing, they get it. And the prophetic really is a catalyst, if you will, for launching that in so many ways. We've started sensing that at the beginning of the year. The Lord keeps confirming it. I believe the Lord. Oh, the other thing I didn't mention, she went on the dream that the person that didn't live here, she said that all of a sudden, there was like a suddenly that took place, and I think we're seeing that, where all of a sudden people just started showing up out of the blue. It was like a suddenly, people started coming. And so, that was exciting. I tried to, the beginning of the January when I came on board, I tried to just guard my heart that I don't, because really the goal of all of our lives in ministry is the same that Paul expressed, was that he wants to see Christ formed in his people. That's the goal of the local church, is to see Christ formed in us, all of us, not just, the leadership Christ has to be formed in all of us. We're all to be the expression of Jesus to the earth. So if that's our mission, our mission's the same whether we got 10 people in this church or we got thousands of people in this church. It doesn't matter. The mission's the same. If Jesus isn't getting formed in his people, then we're not doing what we're called to do. And so that's the goal. So I've tried to keep my heart from even thinking along those lines. Mark, when he came and spoke, a month or so ago, 1st of June, the Lord had given him a word about this was supposed to be a big church. And apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently, the Lord spoke to Rick and Steve and some of those guys when they planted this church, and they felt like the Lord said this was supposed to be a big church. The Lord had shown them that, and I had no idea about that. So I just feel like the Lord's speaking. He's doing some. So anyway, we want to be faithful stewards of what we have here. He who's faithful in a little will be a ruler over much. We need to take care of this building, get it fixed up, which we're trying to do little by little. We've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes. But anyway, so fast forward, we've done the prophetic training. We're going to obviously keep hitting on that, but we've started this healing training. I just want to touch on a little bit of that today, and then we want to pray for some sick people. Anybody having issues? But this message, I told you guys from the get-go, this will take months for me to get through what I feel like the Lord's given me. I know Paul's got some stuff, and Josh has some stuff that he wants to share, Lingner. And so we're gonna take our time, and we're not gonna rush this thing. And I'm trying to be patient because I love speaking on this topic. There's a lot that I want to get to, but I just wanted to finish where I had started 2 weeks ago. We had church at the table last week, and just for the record, we're gonna start moving. We're gonna do church at the table into this month, and then we're gonna start doing it quarterly instead of monthly. Okay, just so everybody knows, we're going to start doing church at the table because home groups is really taking the place of that, where we're getting our fellowship and our interchange. We'll talk more about that later. The healing teaching, and really all the teaching, even since we began, we want it to build. And so if you've not heard the podcast or you haven't been here to hear the messages live, there is some stuff that you're not going to, you know, I'm kind of building on some of that stuff. So I'll encourage you to take a look, listen at it if you hadn't heard the messages. Just kind of a recap. The first one was, hey, God's a healer. And we went through scriptures to kind of verify that. You know, the first thing that Jesus did, or it was the Lord, but for the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, the very first revelation that he gave the children of Israel about himself, the first one, he could have revealed anything about himself, but the very first thing was that he revealed that I am the Lord your God. I am your healer. You look at it, I believe it's Exodus 15. They were coming into a place that he said was going to be milk and honey. The first place they get to, they don't have water to drink. And they're at this water, and it was bitter, and they couldn't drink it. And the Lord told them to take a stick and throw it in the water. That's the cross, the wood. He throws it in the water. He turns the water. And he said, if you'll give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, giving ears to his commandment and keeping all of his teachings, he will not put any diseases upon you that he put upon the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. That's the very first revelation he gave the children of Israel. Okay? So God wants us to understand who he is. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about that healing is really not this thing. Now this, if you weren't here, you're not going to get all the scripture that we looked at. But so look at the podcast if this shocks you. But when we go after healing and ministering healing, that's really what I'm talking about. When I say pray for healing, I'm talking about ministering healing. We're not praying, asking God to heal somebody. You have to understand that. If you don't understand that, you're going to get frustrated. This is a clash of two kingdoms. We talked about that the majority of Jesus' healing has to do with dealing with the demonic. And I went through scriptures. You know, Acts 10 is one of them where it says, God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he went about doing good, healing all those oppressed by the devil. So Jesus' healing anointing and his healing ministry was sent to heal those oppressed by the devil. What does that tell you? Sickness is from the devil. You know, Jesus said, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Right? So it's very clear if it's stealing, if it's robbing, if it's destroying, if it's death, that's the devil's fruit. God's fruit is life, life more abundantly. We talked about how when we're not asking God to heal somebody, what we're doing is we're coming in his name, in his authority, not my authority, in his authority. I've been deputized as a sheriff, just like a deputy sheriff was deputized by the sheriff. We have been deputized in Jesus' name. So when we come to minister healing, the Lord God released healing in the atonement. We're going to talk about that one of these Sundays coming up. That healing is in the atonement. It's something that was done by whom stripes you were healed, First Peter. We're not doing that. What we're doing is we're coming as his representative, and in his name, in the name of Jesus, I command this sickness to go now. I'm coming and I'm exercising the authority of the kingdom to cast out the kingdom of darkness. There's a difference between asking God to do something and enforcing what God has already done in Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's very important. We have to begin seeing healing as a clash of two kingdoms, and we're exercising the kingdom's will over the will of darkness. Does that make sense? If you don't, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be like, God, I'm asking you to heal. Let me look and see if you're doing it. That's not it. Okay. That's a basic recap, but does not do it justice. Please listen to the podcast. They're on. You can get them on our Facebook page or our website or a number of places. So, all right. So this morning, real quick, I want to take about 15 minutes, and I want to just jump into just the end of what we started talking about. The goal of what we're trying to do is to lift up Jesus in such a way that we can see him, okay? The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Okay? So I want us to see Jesus. I want to see him as he is. As I see him as he is, according to this scripture, that's how I'm changed, by beholding him. When I can see him, I will be like him, right? So we want to see the Lord. Jesus said, you know, he came, and it says that, let's read this, John 5:19. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Jesus says that the way that he was doing the works that he was doing was because he was seeing the Father. He was seeing the Father as he is. If you have seen me, Jesus told Thomas, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He was looking at the Father, and he was revealing who the Father was by looking at him. We are looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and as we're beholding him and we're lifting him up, we're going to be changed into his image. So that's why we have to see Jesus as the healer. If we want to be used in healing, we have to get it deep inside of us, who he is. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the healer. He doesn't heal sometimes and not other times. He's always the healer. He healed every single person that came to him in Scripture. Not one person did Jesus ever turn away. The only person he ever said he would not heal, he healed. And that was the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. He said, I won't heal you, basically. He said, it's not good to give the children's breads to dogs. And she said, "Ruff!" She said, but Lord, even the dogs eat bread from the children's tables. Her faith caused Jesus to do something he wasn't planning on doing. And I'm telling you guys, our faith can cause Jesus to do these things. And he was planning on doing it the whole time. He was drawing something out of her. So we want to see him so that we can be like him. And so I encourage you, I'm going to keep pointing us back to Scripture. I'm going to always tell you guys to be Bereans. Go and search the Scriptures and see if what I'm telling you is true or not. I told you 2 weeks ago, try to find a place in the Bible where you see that Jesus or the disciples in any of the Gospel or the books of Acts asking God to heal somebody when they're ministering healing. You can't find it. It's not there. They demonstrated the power of the kingdom by declaring the kingdom is here, speaking to the sickness, commanding someone to get up. I mean, that's the way it was done. That's the way we want to do it. You'll see more results that way, I promise. All right, so let's read real quick. I'm going to turn to Matthew 4. I'm going to run through these scriptures quick. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to go to Matthew 4. This is verse 23. And Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Okay, so Jesus is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and right after it says he's healing every kind of disease. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus was going about in all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So here he is, the gospel of the kingdom. I think that's important that we realize this, that this is the gospel of the kingdom. That's the good news. Gospel means good news. It's the good news of the kingdom. Everywhere you see the gospel of the kingdom going forth in the gospels, or in the book of Acts, there was some signs of wonders being released to touch people. Every place, check it out. The interesting thing about this, if you keep going after that verse, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciple, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.'" Just a little side note here. Jesus couldn't do everything. He was one man. He told Philip that in later on in John, you know, when the Greeks were trying to come to him. He says, "Lord, these Greeks want to meet you." And Jesus responds to him. He says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, if it goes into the hole and dies, it bears much fruit. What Jesus was telling the disciples was that I can only do so much as one person, but I can go and die and pay the price for sin. And then the Holy Spirit will come, and now there'll be a bunch of Jesuses walking all over the earth that can do that, you know, they can reach the whole world. Jesus trusted the gospel really to the Holy Spirit to move upon men, to cause them to be like him so that they can go and they can reach the needs of the world. Jesus here in Matthew 9, he's seeing all these people. And he says, "Oh my gosh, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And so what does he do? Next verse, chapter 10. "And having summoned the 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness." And then he sent the disciples out. So he saw all these needs that need to be met, that he needs the gospel of the kingdom to go and touch these people. And so he raises up these disciples. He gives them authority to do the very thing he did, and he sends them out, and they go out and they do this thing. Let's turn over to, you don't have to turn over, Luke 9, 1. It's the same thing. It's said a little differently. "And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing." It doesn't get any clearer than that. Jesus, in the declaration of the kingdom of God, if we're going to declare the kingdom, we have to be, he's not going to send us without empowering us to do this thing. You have been deputized. You have authority as the believer. You all have authority to do this thing. If he sends you out, you have that authority. And he sends us out. "These signs shall follow them that believe." We have been given that, okay? So Jesus isn't going to send us out, because here's what happened. There's a gospel that has manifested itself in America and probably all over the world that has here, the kingdom comes, and it's just about you acknowledging that Jesus is the Savior and you need forgiveness of sin. That is not the full gospel of the kingdom. That's a part of the gospel of the kingdom. The full gospel of the kingdom is the Lord touching you physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. Let's look at Luke 10. We're right there. Just turn over another page. Here's what's really awesome to me, and I don't mean to belabor, I do mean to belabor the point. I mean to belabor this point, because it's something I don't think we truly get it, because if we did, we would be healing the sick everywhere we go. So I'm going to belabor this point. Luke 10, he's telling, you know, he sent the 70 out in Luke 10, and you come down to verse 8. And he says, "Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is before you." And then verse 9, "Heal those in it who are sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" To me, you have the Lord telling them that the sign that the kingdom has come near is the fact that you just healed them. Heal them and then tell them that the kingdom's here. The sign, here's my point, the sign that the kingdom is here is that people were being restored physically, emotionally, getting set free from demonic oppression, demonic possession, whatever's happening with them. That is the sign that the kingdom's here. You see that again in Luke 5. You know the story where they bring in the man that's can't walk on the pallet. They bring him in. They can't get into where Jesus is, and they tear a hole in the roof. Y'all know the story? And they lower him down. Let's look over there. That's Luke 5. And they bring this guy in, And Jesus says something weird to him. They've brought him for healing. And Jesus says, friend, your sins are forgiven you. Right? They brought this guy for healing. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. And then the Pharisees are like, what is this guy talking about? Who does he think he is to forgive sin? Who does he think he is to say that he can forgive sin? And then Jesus, in verse 22, and Jesus, aware of their reasoning, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins have been forgiven you, or to say rise and walk? Which is easier? Was it easier to forgive someone's sins, or was it easier to raise them up? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your stretcher, and go home. And the guy got up, took up his stretcher. So what's the point? The proof that Jesus has the power to forgive sins in this situation is the fact that he raised this guy up from his pallet where he couldn't walk. The sign that he had the power to forgive sins was the fact that he just did a miracle. And I'm saying that as we're taking the gospel of the kingdom out into the world, which is what we're supposed to do, the signs that what we're saying is true is the fact that we have power following us. It's not just that we're saying, hey, you need to believe in Jesus. No, I'm saying it, and here's the proof. Here's the signs that follow. And the proof that this is accurate, let's look at this. Romans 15. I'm going quick. I'm hurrying through this. Y'all know me. You know I'm hurrying. All right, Romans 15. Paul, starting verse 17, Paul's talking to the church at Romans, and he says, therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in the things pertaining to God, for I will not presume to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I can't even say that word, Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Did y'all hear that? In the power of signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, that from Jerusalem round about as far as this other place, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul pointed to the fact that the full preaching of the gospel was one that was with signs, wonders, and the power of the Spirit. You can't have a full gospel because you're not representing Jesus the healer properly if you don't see signs, wonders. Let's give you a couple more places where it spells that out. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. This is Paul again. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superior speech of wisdom proclaiming you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And why is that? Well, he says, so that your faith may not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. It's the power of God that's supposed to be the sign that allows people to put faith in what we're saying. You go to a Muslim country and you tell them Jesus is the Son of God, they're not going to listen to you. They might kill you, but they're not going to receive from you. But you do a sign and a wonder, and it gives authority to what you just said. Now, I don't want people to be misconfused. You don't have to heal the sick to preach the gospel in the sense of sharing your faith with people, okay? God, John the Baptist came and he didn't do any signs, but God anointed him so greatly that the whole nation came to him. God can use our words. We need to speak out in faith. We don't need to feel pressure like we have to make this stuff happen. But at the same time, I want to lift up Jesus the healer and start heading that way. If I'm not there, and I'm not, where I'm seeing everyone healed, I do see that he wants us to be in that place, and I want to say, okay, God, I want to come up higher into this place, and I want to grow in this area of healing so that I can see more sick people healed and to declare the gospel of the kingdom. Paul said it was very important that these people's faith rested not in just persuasive words, but in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. There has to be a reality of God in our midst. If there's not, then what are we selling? A bunch of stuff in our head? There has to be a reality of God in our midst. Jesus even said that. John 10, he told the Pharisees, they're debating him about who he is, and they're giving him grief because they didn't believe in him. And in John 10, verse 25, it says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. These bear witness to me. And so then he goes on this whole spiel back and forth with them. And you go down a few verses later, verse 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Okay, so he's telling these people that even if you don't just believe me because of my words, you should at least believe because of all the signs and wonders I just did. Right? That's who Jesus is. The Lord wants us to grow in this same thing. Okay? Are everybody with me? Everybody with me? All right. We're gonna continue in future weeks. We want to talk about healing in the atonement, how that was accomplished at the cross. We want to talk about things, all kind of things, like the requirement of faith in healing. We want to talk about all the objections that people have for healing. We want to talk about why some people are not experiencing healing. There's all kinds of things that we can dive into. But for today, what I hope we can see is that Scripture is very clear that the demonstration that the kingdom is here is that signs and wonders and miracles are following. And this isn't just for people that are considered apostles and prophets. If that was the case, Stephen wouldn't have done anything. But, you know, Stephen was just, y'all know Stephen, Book of Acts? You know, he was just serving tables. But he outshined all the apostles because he got a hold of something. And he started healing the sick and doing miracles and it confounding the Jews, and they stoned him for it. The proof that he was walking in more juice, more goods than the apostles was he was the one that died. And so this was just somebody that was just a servant, serving tables, but he got a hold of something. And he became Stephen, this great, powerful man of God, full of the Holy Spirit and boldness. So here's what we want to do. We want to practice. We need to practice this stuff. You know, when we start growing in the prophetic, you practice. Doctors even practice. What does that mean? Well, they're doing what they've learned, and they're learning as they go. That's how you do it. Jesus didn't give them any instructions. He just sent them out and said, look, heal the sick. I don't know. It doesn't say that he even told them how to do that. I mean, they saw him do it. But they came back rejoicing. Even the demons, are subject to us in your name. All right, is anyone here experiencing physical problems?